Lyle Ogilvy had trouble staying dead. During the past 7 months, the medical staff had given up on him half a dozen times, only to realize that he was a case for which they could find no precedent in the history of medicine. They finally had to admit that the question, "Is he dead or alive?" had them baffled. The answer was even harder to come by for anyone outside Lyle's inner circle, as his family and the school had agreed to and honored an ironclad confidentiality agreement about his condition. The mysterious truth was that, since the unfortunate incident last fall, Lyle had fallen into a bottomless coma and his vital signs remained a whisper. 6 times they'd taken him off life support, but each time they'd hooked him back in because, while nothing they tried would revive him, Lyle's EEGs continued to demonstrate robust brain activity. The only clue for the rest of the school that the controversial Ogilvy might still be on campus was the frequent, furtive presence of Lyle's parents. They had accepted the trauma team's recommendation that trying to move their son from his secure intensive care suite at the school's medical center could prove fatal. Because Lyle wasn't only a patient, he was also a prisoner, and if he ever did regain consciousness, he faced a long list of serious criminal charges. So Lyle lay bedridden, as still as a marble replica, throughout the winter months and into the spring. His eyes opened periodically in no discernible pattern, and his pupils responded to light, one of the few encouraging signs the staff could point to. As expected, with a feeding tube providing his only nourishment, Lyle's bulky, overweight frame had melted like wax, apparently wasting away, but closer examination would have revealed that his muscles were growing leaner and more defined. Although the nurses turned him 4 times a day, because his customized bed was so oversized and they never saw him upright, none of them seemed to notice that the 6'2" Lyle had grown 3 inches taller. Persistent vegetative state, a phrase often used by the doctors when discussing Lyle, didn't come close to describing what was really going on inside him. Lyle's mind had not regained the use of words, but had he been able, he might have said that lately he'd grown steadily more aware of his circumstances. He was even dimly able to see people coming and going from his room, whether his eyes were open or not. And as the last of the late-season snows fell and the ice on Lake Waucoma retreated from its shores, something unusual stirred inside Lyle Ogilvy. If he could have settled on just one word to describe what he was going through, it would have been change. Spring was the growing season, and new life was stirring inside him, assimilating the old Lyle into something far more compelling and powerful. Another perception had recently begun to take shape in his cobwebbed consciousness as well. A rising sensation more felt than known. But Lyle felt it in every cell of his body. Hunger.
"How do you feel?" asked the coach.
"Numb."
That's how Will felt at the moment, and not just from the bitter cold.
"It exactly describes how I felt for the last 5 months."
"Do you think I can do it?" asked Will.
"I'm not the one who needs to answer that," said Ira Jericho, arms folded, standing back from the edge.
"I know, but your opinion would be useful in helping me form mine."
"Cop out. Concentrate."
Numb. Overwhelmed. Stuck trying to process and sort through more emotional trauma in 1 month than he'd been through in his lifetime. Will and Coach Jericho stood on the eastern bank of Lake Waucoma, halfway through their daily training session, looking out at the water. Most of it was still covered by its winter sheet of ice, with sections of it breaking apart into a checkerboard pattern of isolated flows. The weak sun drifted low in the west, touching the tree line now. Temperature in the low 40s and dropping. All winter, Will had spent 2 hours of every afternoon training with Coach Jericho. Like most kids his age, he craved routine and regularity, something that, because of his parents keeping them constantly on the move, had in his life forever been in short supply. After Christmas, Will had thrown himself into his first full class load at the center, the most daunting intellectual gauntlet he'd ever run. When his academic day ended, his training sessions with Jericho presented even tougher physical challenges.